Welcome to Trinity Dallas. We pray that this message will be a source of encouragement and hope in your life today. Enjoy today's message.
We're in this series that Pastor Joe started. We're in week 7, part 7 of this series called The Year of the Comeback. And this really is a year of comeback for God's people, for the church, for us really as a society, for us as individuals. This is a year of comeback, and there's comebacks that are taking place. And so this morning, we've heard throughout this series many great comeback stories. And you've heard it said, everyone likes a great comeback story. Well, I want you to know that God loves a comeback story. God's very interested in your comeback story. And so this morning, I want to focus on your comeback story. The comeback story that God's telling through your life, what He's revealing through your life as you make a comeback, as God is working very personally with you and I. And we're going to look at the life of John Mark. We're going to look at his life and use that as a reference point to understand what God's doing in you and I. And so the Bible, the reason we have the Bible, the reason that God has been so gracious to give us His Word is so that we can understand our life through His eyes. We can understand what God's doing in our life in context in the way that God thinks. So, the comeback story of John Mark and your comeback story this morning. Let me see if you can guess who this is. In 1832, he lost his first job and was defeated for the state legislature. 1 year later, he failed in business. 2 years later, his sweetheart died. In 1836, he had his first of 3 nervous breakdowns. In 1838, he was defeated for the speaker. He was defeated the next year for the nomination to Congress. He then, 2 years later, lost renomination. In 1849, he was rejected as land officer. In 1854, he was defeated for the U.S. Senate. In 1856, he was defeated for his nomination for the vice presidency. And again, defeated for the U.S. Senate in 1858. And finally, in 1860, Abraham Lincoln was elected president of the United States of America. Abraham Lincoln's first story is not a story that most Americans know. It's a long list of defeats, one after another. But his second story, his comeback story, literally changed our nation and affected the world. It's his comeback story that delivered us from our original sin of legalized slavery in America. It's his comeback story that united a nation that was very close to falling apart. But God literally used his comeback story to change all of us. And so I want to talk this morning about the comeback story of John Mark and how it affects you and I. So John Mark is the author of the Gospel of Mark. His mother was a wealthy woman, and she housed one of the first century churches was met in her home. So that way her family was always in church. So she had a home church that happened, and John Mark grew up in that. His uncle was Barnabas. John Mark was a close associate of the Apostle Peter. He traveled with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. He accompanied them. And then, of course, we know him most of all as the author of the Gospel of Mark. Now, the Gospel of Mark is anonymous. It doesn't have his name specifically on it. But when we look at all the writings of the early church fathers, they unanimously recognize John Mark as the author of the Gospel of Mark. And the Gospel of Mark is interesting because it's a short gospel. It's the simplest. It's succinct. It's unadorned, yet it's lined with vivid and graphic language in order to be able to give us a mental picture of what's happening in the gospel. It's written towards the Romans, the Roman culture, which was a fast-moving culture, very similar to ours. That's the group of people that Mark was trying to communicate to. I like Mark's gospel because it's the shortest of the gospels. You can read the whole gospel in about an hour and a half if you're an average speed reader. You can listen to it in an hour and 20 minutes. Or you could do like me, and you could increase the playback speed to 1.7 and finish it in around 40 minutes. I highly recommend it. So, his comeback story. What does a comeback story in the scriptures look like? Let me give you a picture of what a comeback story looks like. First, there's conflict. Second, there's restoration. Third, there's growth. And fourth, we find purpose. So a comeback story has conflict, restoration, growth, and purpose. And these are more seasons than they are events. Think about them in a season, not in an event. Okay, let's jump in here. Let's look at the conflict that John Mark experiences. In Acts chapter 13, verse 13, the Bible says this, "From Paphos, Paul and his companions set out to sea, sailing for Perga in Pamphylia." That's where, watch this, that's where John Mark called it quits and went back to Jerusalem. So John Mark was on the first missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas, and at some point during the journey, he called it quits. Said, "I'm done, I'm out." We don't know exactly what happened. We just know that he called it quits. And then in Acts 15:36, Paul said to Barnabas, this is sometime later, "Let's go back and visit our friends in each of the towns where we preach the word of God, and let's go see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John along, John, who is nicknamed Mark. But Paul, watch this, but Paul wouldn't have any of it. He wasn't about to take along a quitter who, as soon as times got tough, jumped ship and left them in midstream. Tempers flared, and they ended up going their separate ways. Literally, the disagreement between Paul and Barnabas over Mark was so difficult, was such a struggle, was such had such turmoil, there was so much conflict, that Paul and Barnabas separated, and as far as we know in the book of Acts, never did ministry together again. John Mark never went on another missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas after this situation. Whatever this situation was, how difficult it was, tempers flared, it was so bad it caused separation. There was a major conflict that happened. Mark, once again, never goes on another missionary journey. The relationship was broken. Here's the point for conflict. We all experience conflict, and it brings about a brokenness in our lives. All of us are broken people. Every one of the major Bible characters is broken. Every person that we read about in this wonderful book is a broken person just like us, that's been through major conflict that has caused relationships to separate, that's caused careers maybe to fail, that's caused personal struggle that's been deeply, deeply painful in their life and in our lives. Number two is restoration. The second season of your comeback story has to do with restoration. So let's take a look at how this happened in John Mark's life. In Acts 15:39 says this, "After the conflict happened, after Paul probably rejected John Mark," again, we don't know exactly how that happened, but after that conflict took place, the Bible says that Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. Barnabas took Mark. Now, the Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of information about John Mark's restoration, but it does give us some really unique insights into the man who's responsible for his restoration, and that's Barnabas. The first mention of Barnabas is in Acts chapter 4, 36. It says this, "Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, who the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field that he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So here's what we know about the man that God sent to restore John Mark, who's been through this major conflict with the Apostle Paul. I mean, can you imagine how difficult that must be? That would be like if you're Catholic and you go sideways with the Pope. That would not be good. Or it'd be like if you were working for the Billy Graham Evangelist Association and Billy Graham all of a sudden didn't like you. I mean, that's the weight of what happened with John Mark. And this man named Barnabas is now taking him under his wing. Here's what we know about him. He's an encourager. He's also a very generous man. The Bible says he's very generous. The second mention of Barnabas is in Acts 9. And this is the story that Pastor Joe talked about last week, where the disciples don't quite know what to do with the Apostle Paul after his conversion. Paul wants to join up with the disciples and begin to do ministry, and he tries to make that connection, and the disciples are afraid of him. They don't know what to do with him. But it's Barnabas who sees the work of God in Paul's heart. He sees what the other disciples cannot. And it's Barnabas who brings Paul into fellowship with the disciples. It's Barnabas who takes a risk on Paul because he has the gift for restoration. The third mention of Barnabas is in Acts 11, 22. It says this: news of the reaction of the church in Jerusalem, when they heard of what God was doing in Antioch, they sent Barnabas there. The Jerusalem church had a policy of sending a solid leader to whenever a new church started, a new work of God was happening, they would send someone to go evaluate that work. That trusted person in the Jerusalem church was Barnabas. They sent Barnabas to Antioch to see how the church was doing. What was God doing there? Because Barnabas had a unique gift in. He had spiritual authority. He had the maturity to be able to assess new works of God and then to encourage them. So the church sent Barnabas. And then the fourth mention is in Acts 11:25, a very short, simple verse that says this: then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Paul. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Paul. Now, the interesting thing about this short little verse is that now Barnabas and Paul have not seen each other for 10 years. There's been a 10-year gap. They haven't seen each other in 10 years. But what I love about this verse is that Barnabas remembers Paul. And not only does he remember Paul, Barnabas travels 100 miles on foot from Antioch to go search and find Paul in Tarsus. That would have taken him a month to make that journey. He remembers Paul, and then he takes the time, the effort to do what it takes to go and find him. Why? Because Barnabas restores people. Barnabas is a restorer, and this is the man who's working now with John Mark in bringing about his restoration. Number three, growth. Growth is the third season in your comeback story. God wants to cause growth in all of us. 1 Peter 5:7 says this: then the church in exile with me, but not for a moment forgotten by God, this is Peter writing, wants you to remember. And then he says this: Mark, who is like a son to me, also says hello. So Peter is writing to the church that's struggling, and he says this about Mark: he's like a son to me. So at some point during John Mark's restoration with Barnabas, he gets reconnected to Peter. And Peter is pastoring the Jerusalem church. So Peter takes in John Mark, this guy that has conflict with the Apostle Paul, has been in a restoration process with Barnabas, is now taken in by Peter, and he's being pastored by Peter. We don't have a whole lot of biblical information on this, but we have some really interesting historical information on this process. So there is a historian named Pappus who wrote from about 60 AD to 130 AD, and he was an early apostolic father, a bishop in the church, and he gives us some very interesting information about this relationship with Peter and John Mark. He says this, three specific things. First, Peter was a close associate with John Mark, and Peter had seen the things that Jesus had done. And then secondly, he said, Mark's understanding of Jesus was not received from a finished work, a sequential act, but it was understood through the preaching of Peter. Preaching directed to the needs of the early church, that Christians were receiving from the Apostle Peter. And then thirdly, Mark accurately represents Peter's teaching. So much so that the Gospel of Mark is considered to be the preaching of Peter. The early church fathers viewed the Gospel of Mark as the interpretation of Peter. So here we have this process where Peter, for maybe decades, was sitting under the preaching of Peter, listening. He had been restored by Barnabas, but now he's being pastored by Peter. He's listening. He's gleaning. He's probably taking notes. He's absorbing. He's being pastored in a healthy, prosperous church. God uses Peter to teach, equip, and disciple John Mark into spiritual maturity. Peter pastors John Mark from quitter to servant, from missionary reject to gospel writer. What a faithful pastoral process we see happening that Peter provides for John Mark. And then we have this beautiful verse towards the very end of Paul's life. Remember, Paul and John Mark were in conflict, but fortunately we have some resolution to that conflict that we read about in 2 Timothy 4:11. It says this, only Luke, this is of course Paul writing, only Luke is still with me, but get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me and to my ministry. So at some point in this process, Mark and Paul were restored in their relationship. There was a restoration, there was a healing that had happened that Paul writes to us about. Which brings us to the fourth season of your comeback story and John's comeback story, which is about purpose. Your purpose, my purpose, John Mark's purpose. And we find this in a key passage in his gospel. The key passage is in Mark chapter 10, verses 41 through 45. And this is an interesting little story because the only other gospel that includes this story is the gospel of Matthew. And when we look at Matthew's gospel, 91% of Mark's gospel is contained in Matthew's gospel. Most scholars believe that Mark probably wrote his gospel first, and that the other gospel writers use Mark as a source. And so it's Matthew and Mark that include this story. And Matthew probably sourced this story from Mark. And this is the story when the two brothers, James and John, come to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, we want to ask you a question, and we want you to say yes before we ask the question. Yes. How many of you parents experience that with your kids? Dad, I'm going to ask you a question, but I need you to say yes first before I ask the question. So these two brothers say, hey, look, we want to sit at your right and one at your left. Well, the other disciples hear about this discussion, and it doesn't go so well with them. So let's read this story. When the other 10 heard this conversation, they lost their tempers with James and John. Here we have another conflict arising. Jesus got them together to settle things down. you've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around, he said to them. And when people get a little power, how quickly it goes to their heads. It's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must first become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must first be your slave. That is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served. And then to give away his life in exchange for many who were held hostage. What a beautiful passage that John captures for us here. And the reason that John can write this passage that so succinctly gives his purpose, John says that his purpose and the purpose of the disciples, and in fact, your purpose and my purpose, is to become a servant. Our purpose is to become a servant, to serve Jesus, to serve what Christ wants done with other people, to serve what Christ wants to see happen through his church, to serve the purposes of Christ so that others are healed, so that others are made whole, so that others can be restored. We are called to be servants. And then Mark also tells us Jesus' purpose, which is laid out very simply and clearly here. Jesus said he came to serve, not to be served, and to give his life away as a ransom in exchange for your life. Jesus came to serve us, not to be served, and to give his life away so that you and I can experience eternal life. And John captures that in this short little story in a fascinating way, because this story is John's story. There's conflict, there's restoration, there's growth, and there's purpose, all captured in this short little story that John Mark tells us. So now, understanding that, let's take a look at what John Mark's comeback story looks like. First, there's conflict. But we know who that conflict is with. It's with Paul. You and I experience conflict. We go through conflict. Number two, there's restoration. And we know who restores John Mark. It's Barnabas. There's a person in that season who takes responsibility for John Mark's restoration. Number three is growth. After John Mark is restored, he begins to go through this long season of spiritual growth, spiritual formation, where he's sitting in church, he's learning, he's being pastored, he's hearing the Word of God taught, and there's tremendous growth that begins to take place in this missionary reject, in this one-time quitter who begins to grow and develop as he sits under the teaching of the Word of God. And then fourth, we come into John's purpose. John's great purpose, this guy that was once a quitter, has now been well-discipled and well-trained and has the Word so deeply inside of him that he becomes one of the four gospel writers. He fulfills his purpose. He knows that he's a servant. He knows that he's been saved by Christ. He's been restored, and he fulfills his purpose, and he writes us one of the four gospels. What a great comeback story. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want you to look at your comeback story. What is your comeback story look like? First, number one, who do you have conflict with? Who is the Paul that you're in conflict with? It may be that you're in that conflict right now. It could be with a spouse. It could be with a boss. It could be with some authority figure. It could be that this conflict happened a long time ago in your life. All of us have experienced conflict, and there's a who in that conflict which has caused brokenness inside of us. We're all broken, broken people because of conflict. Yes. And then number two, restoration. who is restoring you? We know that Barnabas took John Mark and restored him. Took the time because Barnabas was an encourager. Barnabas was patient. Barnabas was this salt of the earth saint that was in the church that would take the time to look past the outside and see into your inside and take a chance on someone. The church is filled with Barnabases. You and I need to be connected to a Barnabas that helps us be restored from the conflict that we've experienced. Then number three, who is helping you grow? Who, when you move into that season of growth, when God wants to pour deeply into your heart, when God wants to saturate you with His Word, when God wants to minister to the broken places in our lives, who is it that's pastoring you? For John Mark, it was Peter. He knew exactly who this person was. And for decades, John Mark sat under Peter's preaching. And there was a growth process, a powerful growth process that happened in John Mark. Who is that person that's pastoring you? If you were to fill in that blank, who would that name be? And then fourthly, and the answer is always, who's in charge of your purpose? Who's helping you connect to your purpose? And the answer to that is Jesus. Jesus is the one that shows us our purpose. Jesus is the one that empowers us to live within our purpose. Jesus is the purpose giver. But in order for us to get to our purpose, in order for us to know our purpose and walk in our purpose, we have to go through our comeback story. We have to go through the process of understanding and coming to terms with the conflict. We have to go through what may be a long process of restoration because of the brokenness and the pain and the hurt that's been caused by that conflict. We have to be restored. And we have to go through that process. And it for many of us, it's a long season. It's a process. It's not a one-time event. It's a process of healing. And then we go through a season of growth, through a season where God wants to pour deeply inside of us. He wants to pour water on us. He wants to plant us in good soil. He wants to put us in a place where we're protected, where the growth can happen, where God can pour out growth upon you and I. There has to be a season of growth. And who is it? Who is it that's overseeing that growth? Who's pastoring you in that growth? And then, of course, fourthly is your purpose. Jesus connecting you to your purpose. And so in conclusion, here's what I want us to know. It's not your first story. It's your comeback story that God uses to change you and everyone else around you. It's your comeback story. It's not Moses' first story that you and I are changed by. It's his comeback story that set Israel free from slavery, that gives us the Ten Commandments and the first five books of the Bible. It's not Joseph's first story that you and I look to for hope. It's his comeback story that literally fed the world in his day, saved the world from starvation. It's not Paul's first story. He was a murderer. But it's his comeback story that gives us two-thirds of the New Testament and maybe the greatest Christian witness the world has ever seen. It's not Job's first story where we find encouragement, but it's his second story, his comeback story, where you and I learn how to deal with pain.
Yes, right.
It's not John Mark's first story. It's his comeback story where you and I find the gospel of Mark that's so encouraging to each of us. And in that chapter 10 passage, we learned about the upside down kingdom that's totally opposite from the way the world works.
Yep.
It's his comeback story. It's not your first story. It's your comeback story this morning that God wants you to understand. It's your comeback story that He wants you to connect with. It's your comeback story that God wants you to see that He's working in your life in this difficult season. That He's bringing to you a Barnabas. That He's bringing to you a Peter to connect you to your full purpose, to the plan of God that He has for your life. And this morning, I just want to encourage you, let your comeback story happen. Let Jesus work in you. Let Him tell your comeback story, just like He's done in so many other stories. In fact, every story we read about in the Scriptures that makes a difference in our life is a comeback story. Let's pray together this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank You for the Scriptures. I thank You for a comeback story. I thank You for this series that Pastor Joe started 7 weeks ago, the year of the comeback. Father, I'm so grateful, Lord, that You are working in our lives. I thank You for the story of John Mark. Lord, I thank You that You've given us an outline for our comeback, for our comeback story, the way that You work in people, the process that You use to bring healing and wholeness to people. And so, Father, today we want to connect to what You're doing in our lives and in the people around us. Lord, it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Here's what I'd like to ask happen. I'd like the ministry team to go ahead and come forward, the prayer team, if you would stand to your feet. And I've got two short questions for you. If everyone could stand, I've got two very short questions for you. First off is this: is Jesus the Lord of your story? Is Jesus the Lord of the story that's right now happening in your life? Is He really your Savior and your Lord? Is He the Lord of your story? And this morning, if you know that Jesus is not the Lord of your story, you can change that. You can come forward and receive ministry. We have people ready to pray with you, ready to minister to you. That can be changed if you know that Jesus is not the Lord of your story. And then secondly, in what season are you in your comeback? This probably applies to all of us. What season are you in the comeback story that Jesus is trying to tell through your life? What season are you in? Are you right in the middle of the conflict? Maybe you're right in the middle of conflict. Maybe you're right in the middle of restoration. You've gone through the conflict and you know you need to be restored. And you're looking for that restoration process. You know that you want to be restored. You need to be restored. And you need some help with that. We want to pray with you. Maybe you're in the growth season of your comeback story. And you know that you've gone through the conflict. You've been restored. And now you need to grow. And there's things that God wants to grow in you. New gifts that He wants to release in you. There's new things that God wants to do in you. And you know that you need some help. Some help with that growth process. I want you to come forward for prayer. Maybe that you are about to be released in your purpose. You want to be released in your purpose. You just want someone to pray over you. You've gone through the conflict. You've been through restoration. You've grown, and now it's time for the release of purpose in your life, and you just know that you need someone to pray with you, lay hands on you, and pray with you about that. We want to do that this morning. I want to encourage you to take advantage of your comeback story and connecting to what God is doing in your life today. Thank you so much for letting me be here. I love being a part of this series, and I hope that you'll come forward for prayer.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you'd like to dive deeper in today's message, go to trinitydallas.com/sermons to receive your copy of the notes. If today's message encouraged you, do someone else a favor and share it with them. Also, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. A special shout out to all those who partner with us through their giving. Your contributions have enabled us to touch the lives of people in our community, as well as around the globe. Visit us at trinitydallas.com/give to partner with what God is doing through Trinity Dallas. God bless.